Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Kiddushin Daf Nun Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 15 lines from the top. On the side of the Gemara in the margin, we have a topic heading, which reads, Tzipore Mitzora, the birds that are part of the Mitzora purification process. Me'emosai ne'esorim. We have learned in the Mishnah that they are prohibited to benefit from them, but from what point in time is that the case? We will see a disagreement between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says, Mishas Shchita, from the point in time that the bird is slaughtered, and Reish Lakish says Mishas Lekicha, from the point that they are purchased, which is, of course, earlier. It's my recommendation that before we continue in the Gemara itself, we go over a few psukim in the Torah found in Vayikra Perek Yud Dalid, psukim Dalid through Zion. Here the Gemara is describing the purification process of a person who had experienced tzoras, the skin affliction that results in his becoming defiled, and at the end of the period, without getting into any details how that takes place, but at the end of the tzoras experience, the following is stated in the psukim. Pasuk Dalet says, "V'tzivo ha'kein v'lokach lamitaher." The Kohen issues a command, and there is a purchase made for the client, for Mitaher, the one who is seeking purification. Shtei Tziporim Chayos, the purchase of two live birds, Tahoros. The variety of bird is the type of bird that is Tohor, we'll say kosher variety bird. V'eitz Erez, Ushmi Solas, V'ezov. And three additional elements, the eitz erez. Erez is a type of wood, so you have a piece of erez wood, a shni tolas, and an ezov. Pasuk hey, v'tziva ha'kein v'shochat es ha'tzipor ha'echos el kli cheres al mayim chayim. The Kohen then commands, and one of the two birds is slaughtered over a clay vessel that contains water drawn from a live spring. Es hatzipor hachayo yikach oisa, then after the slaughtering of that one bird, then the second bird, which remains alive, it is taken, ves eitz ho'erez ves shni atulas ves ho'ezov, and those three additional elements that we saw in Pasuk Dalet. So you have the bird plus these three ingredients, three elements. The toval oisam, they're then immersed, as a tzipor chaya, along with the bird, the living bird, bedam hatzipor hashchuta al hamayim achayim. It's they're immersed in that water blood mixture, and pasuk zayin vehizo al hamitaher min atzoras, and then with the after having been immersed, the client receives a sprinkling of this. In other words, the kohen will sprinkle on the mitaher. Sheva pamim, seven times, v'tiaro, and that we'll say that starts the it's a week long purification process, but that's the, we'll say, the beginning of the tahara, the purification process. That's v'shilach es hatzipor achaya al pnei hasodeh. And then the living bird, after it was used for this sprinkling, is then set free over the open fields. In the Gemara, we'll see that this process, this ceremony takes place within a walled city, and then the bird is set free over the wall out over into fields. there is the psukim go on, but for our purposes, that is sufficient for what we need to know for our Gemara. So now we turn to the Gemara, as we mentioned, 15 lines from the top. Itmar, Sipore Mitzora, Me'emosai Asurim. The birds that we just made reference to in the psukim, from what point in time do they become usur? Now, why the Gemara here is saying from what point in time do they become usur, that's a follow-up from the Mishnah that said that if one attempts to marry a woman with the Tzipore Mitzora, she's not married because he hasn't given her anything of value. They are prohibited to benefit from them. So from what point does that prohibition set in? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mishas Shchita, from the point of slaughtering that we saw in the Psukim. And Reish Lakish Amar Mishas Likicha, from the point they are purchased. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mishas Shchita, Shchita hu the Osar Lo, from the point that the slaughtering takes place. It is the slaughtering that is the activity, the mechanism that creates the prohibition. There is a Rashi that we will look at together. You'll notice the Rashi in the upper part of the narrow lines, Mishas Shchita, Ne'eseres Hashchuta, from the point of slaughtering, so the slaughtered bird becomes prohibited. V'hamishulachas, the bird that will be set free, Muteres Kidele Kamon, it is not prohibited, as the Gemara mentions later. Now, we continue in the Gemara. Reish Lakish Amar Mishas Lekicha, from the point of purchase, it is already prohibited. The birds are prohibited. Kicha, kicha me eglo arufa nafka. Through a word comparison, the Torah derives, or Reish Lakish derives, that from the point of purchase, prohibition sets in. Ma eglo arufa me chayim, just like in the case of the eglo arufa, the calf whose neck is broken in the ceremony when a body of murder victim is found between two cities, that eglo arufa, that calf, is prohibited to receive for one to derive personal benefit from it while it's still alive. Af tzipore mitzora mechayim, so too the tzipore mitzora are forbidden from the point they're still alive. And we say from the point they're still alive, so up till now, according to Reish Lakish, that means from the point they are purchased. The eglo arufa gufa me mosai, the calf whose neck is broken in the eglo arufa ceremony, from what point does it in fact become also? We just said it becomes also from the point that it is alive, but what point exactly? Omar Rabbi Yanai, gvul shamati ba. Gvul literally means a boundary. And he says, I heard the point in time from which it becomes prohibited, v'shochachti, and I forgot it. However, v'nasvin chavraya lomar, the other colleagues, the other friends, rabbis, came and said, yiridos l'nachal eson hi osarta. It's at the point that the eglo arufa descends into the uncultivated valley where the eglo arufa ceremony is to take place, at the point that it descends into the Nachal Eson, that uncultivated area where the ceremony takes place, that's when it becomes usur. The Gemara asks, well, ima eglo arufa mishas lekicha lo mitzura, if, as we suggested before, we're learning kicha kicha, a word comparison, from Eglo Rufa to the Tzipori Mitzora, but by the Eglo Rufa, it doesn't become prohibited from the point it's purchased. We just said it becomes prohibited from the point that it's used, it descends into the Nachal Eson, which is not the time of purchase, it's later. Av Tzipori Mitzora, Nami Mishas Likicha Lo Mitzri. So too, say the same thing by the Mitzora birds, they should not become prohibited at the point of purchase. The Gemara responds to that question. Hochi hashta. How can you compare the two? Hosam is le gvul achrino. In the case of the eglo arufa, there is another specific point, another boundary point, besides the time of purchase. and that is the Yerida, the descent to the Nachal Eson. Hocha by the Tziporim Mitzora, mi is le gvul achrina. Is there some other point in time that can be used as the boundary? And since there is, we don't have that in the case of the Tziporim Mitzora to show how they're prohibited while still alive. So we go back to the point of purchase. There isn't any other still alive point in time that we could use as the defining point, which you do have in the case of the Egla Rufa. As you can see, we have a house shape that appears, and under the Mivne, the structural note that you see in the margin, this indicates we have Kushios al Shitas Reish Lakish. We have a series of questions on Reish Lakish's approach. So Reish Lakish mentioned that the Tzipori Mitzora are forbidden from the point of purchase. Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan questions Reish Lakish from the following of a pasuk, a Tanaic source that goes along with it, called Tzipor Tahora Tochelu. This pasuk is in the section of the Torah that deals with a kosher variety animals, and more specifically birds. And it says all kosher variety birds you're able to eat. Now the word kol is an inclusive expression. It comes to include more than, we'll say, the simple meaning. And from this we learn, L'rabbi says hamishulachas. This comes to include the mitzora bird that's set free. The pasuk says v'zeh asher lo tochlu mehem, and the word asher, we've highlighted that with a squiggle underline, is also an inclusive type expression. L'rabbi says hashchuta. This comes to include as being prohibited the slaughtered mitzora bird. If the birds are also, as Reish Lakish says, from the point that they are purchased, which is while they are still alive, so the birds are also already, while they're still alive, the shechita wouldn't make any difference. La'achar shechita mibaya, do I have to tell you that after it's slaughtered, it remains usher? That's obvious. It was also already from beforehand. So from the fact that the Gzeiras HaKosav, from the fact that the Torah has to go out of its way to tell me that the slaughtered Mitzora bird is usher to eat, that shows me that if it wouldn't have been slaughtered, if it was still alive, it would have been mutter. So the Gemara answers on behalf of Reish Lakish. Mahu detema. Without this source, in fact, I would have thought that the slaughtering of the Mitzora bird will enable it to become mutter. Midi dahave, that's a common expression, meaning similar to akochim, other sacrifices, general sacrifices. It's true, here we're not dealing with sacrifices, but the concept that you find by sacrifices could have been applied over here. What's the concept that you find by sacrifices? Demechayim asiri. While they're still alive, after you sanctified an animal, it becomes prohibited. You cannot benefit from it. And after the sacrifice is slaughtered, it then becomes kosher. You can benefit from it in the sense that you can eat it. So that the shechita, in the case of sacrifices, takes something that when alive is totally prohibited to benefit from, and the slaughtering enables you to, yes, benefit from it. I would have thought the same thing with the purchased Mitzora birds. When they're purchased, they're prohibited, and when the one bird is slaughtered, that might have made it allowed. Kamash malon, the source tells me above that even after shechita, it in fact remains usher, but not to derive from that it was prohibited, that it was permitted beforehand. Not so. It was actually prohibited from the point of purchase, like Reish Lakish. Eisvei, well, we challenge him again. Shachta v'nimtzeis trefa. You have the two Mitzora birds, and as the Torah said, you slaughter one of them, and the one that you slaughtered turned out, v'nimtzeis trefa, turns out to be a trefa. Now, the thinking right now is that in the shechita process, while you were slaughtering it, you botched up the slaughtering, and it was not an unkosher slaughtering, and that would make it into a trefa. which is something prohibited. So, shachtov v'nimtzei treifa, yikach zug lashnia, you'll need to find a replacement bird for the second bird. We had the second bird is the one that will be eventually sent away. So since the slaughtering was ineffective, you have to get a new bird for slaughtering as the pair for the shnia, the second bird, the one that's the that remains alive. V'hol rishona muteres bano. What does rishona mean? That first bird that you slaughtered and botched up the slaughtering, that is now something you're muteres bano, you're allowed to benefit from it. You can't eat it, it's a treifa, but you can benefit from it. You can give it to a goy, you can give it to your dog. If, as Reish Lakish said, that the birds are prohibited while they're still alive, that first bird that you botched up in the shechita, that concerning which we said nimseis treifa, why should you be allowed to benefit from it? It was, here you don't have an effective shechita that we can say makes it mutter. What if it's usur already while it's still alive? Why in the usur to benefit from it? How does a botched up shechita make you allowed to benefit from it? Omar le hocha b'mayaskinos. Reish Lakish answers that the source that said nimseis treifa, you know what it's talking about. Kigon shenim says treifa b'vnei me'el. It was treifa not in a botched up slaughtering, but it was a congenital treifa in within its digestive system. It's b'nei me'ayim. It's the bird's intestines were sickly. Let's say as a treifa would be, it the intestine had a hole in it. The lochal Allah kedusha klal, that from the very outset, from the time that you bought it, it did not derive the sanctity associated with these birds. It never became prohibited. As opposed to a case where we had a botched up shechita, they were prohibited at the time you bought it. The time you bought it was a perfectly fine bird. Only later you botched it up. So then the source would not have said that it's allowed to be benefited, to derive benefit from it. But in this case, where it was unfit from the very outset, from before you even bought it, it was not fit to be used for the Metzora purification process. Therefore, we can say here in this source that that first bird that was Nimseis Treifa. What does Nimseis mean? When you opened up the bird and inspected its internal organs, you saw that it was not fit from the very outset to be a Metzora purification bird, and hence the source can say Muteres Bano, you're allowed to benefit from it. But in general, if you bought Metzora birds and they were healthy, normal birds, it's at that point that they become prohibited to benefit from. Esve, well, again, a question on Reish Lakish. The source says, Shochto shelo be'ezov, v'shelo be'etzeres, v'shelo b'shnitolas. If you slaughtered the Metzora bird, but did not have the other ingredients that we alluded to, that we read about in the Psukim. In the Psukim that we read earlier from Vayikra Perek Yudalid, we saw these other ingredients, these other features or elements that are necessary. And here, the source is describing someone that slaughtered a bird without having those additional elements. Rabbi Yankiv, Amir Huril V'huktso L'mitzvosa Asura. Rabbi Yankiv says, since the birds were set aside for the mitzvah of Metzora purification, so it is the bird is usur. And Reb Shimon Omer Hoyel V'Nishkata Shelo Kemitzvasa Muter. Since the shechita was done improperly, so the improperly meaning you didn't have the other necessary ingredients, it is muter. Ad kan lo pligi. There is up till this point, there's a machlokas between Rabbi Yankiv and Reb Shimon, a very specific internal machlokas. Rabbi Yankiv says that a shechita that's done improperly, nevertheless, has the legal status of a shechita. And Reb Shimon, more so, Reb Shimon holds shechita sheino ruya, a shechita that's not fit. In this case, you didn't have the additional necessary elements. Lo shma shechita, it's not considered a legally acceptable slaughtering. That's their internal machlokas. However, de kule alma miha, both Reb Yaakov and Reb Shimon will agree, mechayim lo mitzra, the bird did not become usur when you purchased it. Though the issue is, was the point of shechita considered sufficiently acceptable in order to create the isur from the expected point in time that isur sets in, namely the shechita, but not the purchase. So this presents a problem for Reish Lakish. The Gemara responds, Tanoi hi. The issue is really a machlokes tanoim. Tanoim, well, we saw already, Rabbi Yaakov and Shimon, they will tell you that it doesn't become osir mechaim. It does not become osir like Reish Lakish had said. However, we have another Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, that's going to appear now, that tells you they do become osir mechaim, like Reish Lakish. The Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel. Neemar, now we're going to read a source, and we must emphasize that this source we already had seen in our at the end of our previous year, and it should be of no surprise that it's the same name as we saw earlier in the upper part of page, the very end of our previous year, just a few lines before the today's shiur began. You saw this Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael. In the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they teach the following. Ne'emar machshir mechaber mibifnim. A machshir, and here we'll say, more terse in our presentation. For details, listen to our previous year on this source. But a machshir is a reference to the osham mitzorah. That's a guilt offering brought by the mitzorah after his defilement period. And mechaper mibifnim is a reference to those other sacrifices that serve as atonement. So, v'ne'emar machshir u'mechaper b'chutz. And we have a machshir, that's a reference to the mitzora birds, and mechaper, that's a reference to the eglo arufa, that atones in the meantime for an unsolved murder case. And those machshir and mechaper, the tzipor mitzora and the eglo arufa b'chutz, they are processed, those are ceremonies that take place outside. Bachutz means outside the Beis HaMikdash. They're not Beis HaMikdash related mitzvos. Ma machshir mechab omer bifnim, also boy machshir ki mechaper. Just like the two examples of machshir and mechaper that are stated within the Beis HaMikdash, meaning they're processed as sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash, bifnim means inside the Beis HaMikdash. The Torah considers the machshir like the mechaper, whatever we say regarding the mechaper, we will say regarding the machshir. So af machshir mechaper omer b'chutz, asay bo machshir kemechaper. So too with regard to the here will be more specific. The machshir, the tzipor mitzora, will be treated like the mechaper and treated like the eglo arufa. And what do we know about the eglo arufa? That it is Aser Mechayim. We mentioned before, it's descent to the Nachal Eson. So too, the Machshir, the Tzipori Mitzora, become prohibited Mechayim. And it would be based on this that Reish Lakish would have his Tanaic support. Gufa. And here we have a quote of that which was mentioned above. The Pasuk had said, Kol Tzipor Tohoro Tochelu, the Rabbis is a Meshulachas. To include as being allowed the mitzora bird that's set free, v'zashelo tochlu mehem, the rabbis is a shchuta to include amongst prohibited birds the mitzora bird that was slaughtered. In other words, in addition to all the different varieties of birds that the Torah mentions as being prohibited, this too, even though at the outset it's a kosher variety bird, and not only that, but it happens to be slaughtered, nevertheless, it's prohibited to benefit from it. The Gemara asks, the Epoch Ano, why don't we switch around what was just said in this source, namely, the included bird as being allowed would be the shluta. The prohibited bird would be the one that's set free. On the side, that's the question, and with this question, we glance at the side of the Gemara where we have a nosei topic heading, which reads, "Betzipori Metzora, Hamishulachas Muteres, and the Hashchuta Asura." When we speak about the Tzipori Metzora, we've mentioned already numerous times, the send away bird is allowed, and the slaughtered bird is that which is forbidden. "Velo Amrinon Ipcha," and we don't say the opposite. And why not? "Delo motzino balei chayim she'asurim isur olam." We don't find living creatures that remain prohibited till the very end. Gemara will raise questions. However, there's also another marking before we get to the questions. You have a crown shape. Now, if you continue in under our Mivneh heading, the crown shape is Hityachasuyot La She'ela, where the Gemara pays attention or discusses the question Lama Tzipor Hametzora Hameshulachas Muteres V'lo Amrinum Epuch Ano, and why is it that we don't say the opposite? So the Gemara is going to have several presentations, several opinions with regard to the actual structure. When you come to Rabbi Yochanan, you're going to have two versions. Rabbi Yochanan is Aleph, and then four lines from the top of Omid Beis, there's the Beis, the second presentation of Rabbi Yochanan, and then you'll see the Beir Rabbi Shmuel and his dealing with it, and then finally Rava's dealing with this issue. So the question then comes down to why is it that the Mishulachas is not the subject of the prohibition of the Torah when it said Vizah Shelo Tochlu Mehem? So the Gemara answers, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochoi, Lo Motzinu Baalei Chayim Shasurim. We don't find animals, in this case birds, that are alive and remain permanently prohibited. Well, this gives rise to questions. Maskif lo Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak. The lo is that really the case? Hare mukse v'nevad de balei chayim ninu v'asiri. Mukse is an animal that was set aside, was designated to serve eventually as a sacrifice to an idol. Nevad is a living animal that was worshipped as an idol. Those are balei chayim, those are living animals, and they are prohibited. The Gemara says, ki asirim, when they are osir, the mukze and the nevad, lagavoa, they are prohibited to be used as sacrifices. The hedyot mishashari. However, for personal use, they are not prohibited. They are mishashari, means they are allowed. And hence, if you're going to use mukse nevad as an example of something that's usur, but it's not prohibited to benefit from them for private individuals, based on the idea that we don't find balei chayim nesorim. Maskif lo Rabbi Yirmiyah hare roveya v'nirba b'edim de balei chayim ninhu v'asiri. Roveya and nirba are animals that if there were two witnesses that saw them used or participant in bestiality, they are prohibited. In fact, they are sentenced to be stoned. They are killed. Now, these are balei chayim that are usur. So, what about the bird, the metzora bird? Maybe the send-away bird is the one that is usur. Elo Omar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochoi Lo Motzinu Roiv balei chayim shasurim. The majority of cases of living animals, we don't find living animals to be designated to be considered prohibited. Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tona, di Omar Kro, V'shilach es hatzipor hachayo al penei hasodeh. We saw this in the psukim that we read at the outset of today's shir. This happens to be Pasuk Zayin in Perek Yudalin. And the Pasuk mentions that you send the living bird over the fields. And we learn from here, kisodeh, like a field, ma sodeh muteris, just like a field is something that's permitted, af hai nami muteris. So too, the bird that's sent over the fields is sent to fly away over the fields is allowed. The Gemara asks, we have a question that lasts a number of lines, as you can see in the markings. Hai sodeh l'hochi hu da'asa. Is the purpose of the word sodeh to tell me that the send-away bird is permitted? I need the sodeh word for the following teaching, for that which is found in the following Tanaic source. And once you say that the word is taken up already for some other teaching, you can't say that from it I derive that the send-away bird is allowed. What's that other teaching? Sodeh. Shelo yamod b'yafo. Yafo is the name of a city, a coastal city in Israel. Shelo yamod b'yafo v'yizrekeno l'yam. Yafo was a city with a wall around it, and as we said, it was a seaside city. The word sodeh tells me that you don't take the bird, stand in the city of Yafo, and then throw the bird and allow it to flutter off over the sea. The word sodeh precludes the sea. Another example that we will exclude, Begeves. Geves is a name of a city that had a border of the city on the desert. So one should not stand in Geves, Vizrakena la midbar, and toss the bird over the desert. V'shelo yamod chutz le'ir v'zkena b'sochir. Nor should one stand outside a city and toss the bird, that means flutter the bird, into the city. Ela kol sh'oimei b'ir v'yizrakena chutz l'choma. The idea, or I should say the process in dealing with the fly-away bird is one stands in the city and sends it over the wall of the walled city, sends it to fly out of the city. That's what we learn from the word sodeh. So you see that the word sodeh is already used to tell me how to do it. So how do you suggest that the word sodeh is there to teach me that the fly-away bird is mutter, that you can benefit from it? V'idach, the other approach, meaning the opinion that says, I do learn from sodeh, says, im kain, nichtev cross sodeh, my hasodeh. There's a hey in the word that needs to be noted. Shmami notarti, from the fact the word sodeh appears as hasodeh, I can learn procedure, and I can also learn permission. Tarti means two things, those two points. Rava Omar, Rava doesn't cite a posuk, he says it's a matter of svora, of logic. Lo omro Torah shlach l'takola. The Torah would not have said, send away the bird, and imagine someone finds the bird, and he doesn't know that it's the Metzora bird, that was the Chaim, the Mechaim bird, the living bird, and he'll end up slaughtering it and eating it. He'll then be in violation of consuming something that's prohibited. The Torah would not set up a mitzvah that can easily result in someone stumbling, someone making a mistake. So if one of the two birds is going to be the prohibited one, it's going to be the bird that remains under your control, i.e. the slaughtered bird. The Mishnah had a very long list of prohibited items that would not enable a marriage if offered to the woman to take place. Beseir Nazir, the Nazir's hair. At the end of the Nazir's period, at the end of his Nazirite period, the Nazir has his hair shaved off his head. That hair is prohibited, is Osir Bahano, is prohibited to benefit from it. Giving it to a woman as marriage money, as marriage value, would not enable a marriage to take place, to be clinched. Minolon, from where do we know that? And by the way, you can see we're at number 6, so as far as explanation of markings, you would have to refer to what we explained in our previous shiur. So from where do we know this? Diyomar kro kadosh ye gadel peras se'ar rosho. Gidulo ye kadosh. The hair that hair that grew on the nazir's head is kadosh, is holy. I ma kodesh teifis es dama v'yotze l'chulin. If you're comparing the ser nazir to kodesh, to that which is sanctified, to kodesh, we know that items that are sanctified can, in many cases, can be redeemed, and upon their redemption, the holiness that was on the item leaves the item and goes onto the money, and the original item goes free. So, do you say the same by Seir Nazir? Let's read that again. Ima Kiddush Toifes as Dom of grabs hold the Kiddusha, the sanctity, when you redeem it, grabs hold of the money. The Yotze L'chulin, the original item that had been sanctified, goes to the common realm, to the permitted realm, which we call Chulin. Af Seir Nazir Toifes as Dom of Yotze L'chulin. Are you going to say the same thing with regard to Seir Nazir, that it's subject to redemption? Gemara is working with an assumption that, of course not, Seir Nazir is not subject to redemption. So how can you insist on that when you're saying that Seir Nazir's prohibition is derived from Kadosh? The Gemara answers, Mi Karinan Kodesh, Kadosh Karinan. When we read the pasuk concerning the pasuk that we saw quoted just a few lines up, it's true the Torah has no vowels in it. But there, so how do we decide how to darshan it? So we're telling you: do you read the word as kodesh? No, you read the word as kadosh. And from the fact that it's called kadosh, that's telling me that an attempt to, let's say, redeem it and transfer the kedusha onto money will not work. But Peter Chamor, trying to marry a woman with Peter Chamor, we don't have a triangle, by the way, over here. There's a little starred note that indicates Lo Misumon, this one is not marked with a triangle. The Ein Kan Sheila Shel Minolon Shosubana. Here the Gemara is not asking the question, from where do you know that it's prohibited to benefit from it? So we continue. Bepetach Hamor, marrying a woman with Petach Hamor, with a firstborn donkey, will not be an effective means of marrying her. Nemo masnis in delo kribi Shimon. That Petach Hamor is included in the list of Yisurei Hano. Shall we say that our Mishnah is not in accordance with Reb Shimon? Desanyo Petach Hamor osur bahano de Rabbi Shimon matir. Here, when we've dashed underlined the main point, Rabbi Shimon allows one to benefit from a firstborn donkey. So that our Mishnah doesn't seem to be in accordance with Rabbi Shimon. Omer of Nachman, Omer of Vua, Liachar Arifa, the Divrei Hakol. Our Mishnah that describes the Petach Hamor as being prohibited, our Mishnah is speaking about the Petach Hamor in the event that it's not redeemed. The Torah describes what you do if you have a firstborn donkey amongst your animals. You redeem it onto a sheep, and you give the sheep to the Kohen. If you don't do that, then the animal's neck, the donkey's neck, is to be broken. Arifa. If that reminds you of Eglo Arufa, then that's good. It's the same idea. But if that happens, that it's not redeemed, and you end up breaking its neck, then everyone agrees, even Rabbi Shimon, that it's Osir Behano. Bosor Becholov, meat and milk. And when we learned the Mishnah, we mentioned one who cooks meat in milk, so that that mixture is prohibited to benefit from. Minolon, from where do we know that? The Tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel. The following was taught in the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel. The Pasuk says, Lo Sevashuk Di B'chalei Vimo Gimel Pomim. Throughout the Torah, there are three times that this Pasuk appears, which literally is, do not cook the kid in its mother's milk, which we take to mean not just the Gedi, but Gedi, which is a goat, but it means all animals are not to be cooked in milk, not just their mother's milk either, but all milk. It says that three times. Echad isur achila, one time telling, it says, lo sevashli gedi b'chavimo, to tell me that it's also to eat it. The achad isur hano. Now, you notice we've dashed on the isur hano because we want to draw your attention to that. The reason we're citing this source is to show you where I know scripturally that bosu b'chalav is banned from deriving any personal benefit, and hence you can't marry a woman by offering her a, let us say, offering her a cheeseburger. That's an example of bosu b'chalav. So we learn from a second, a repetition of lo sevashli b'chalav to tell me that you cannot derive personal benefit. V'echon, and a third time in the Torah, isur bishul, to tell me the prohibition of even cooking it together. So that if someone, let us say, doesn't plan to eat it, doesn't plan to sell it, he's just doing someone a favor and making him a cheeseburger, well, that would be prohibited. So that if you might have a Gentile that is allowed to eat cheeseburgers, you, the Jew, are prohibited in even cooking the two together. Masnisen, our Mishnah that states Boser B'cholov is Oser B'hana Delo Ki Haitana. It, our Mishnah, is not like the following Tanaic opinion. There's another Tanaic opinion that will tell us that Boser B'cholov one is allowed to benefit from, not to eat it, but to benefit from it. So that if a person has Boser B'cholov, he can feed it to his dog. Desanya, Reb Shimon ben Yehuda Omer, Boser B'cholov, Oser B'achila, Umutir B'hanah. Boser B'cholov is prohibited to eat, but it's allowed to derive personal benefit from it. And that's why you can see we've dot underlined Mutir B'hanah. That's the main feature of this opinion vis-a-vis why the Gemara is quoting this source. And where does Rav Shimon ben Yehuda know his information from? Shneamar. The pasuk says, "Ki an kodesh ato l'Hashem alokecha lo yisevash gdi b'chalev imo." Ulahalon hu omer, and it says in the Torah regarding treifa. Treifa is a case of an animal that when you slaughter it, you discover there is a hole in certain organs. The Gemara in Chulin has an extensive list of what makes an animal into a treifa. In the context of treifa, it says, V'anshe kodesh tiyuni. And I should also mention that the Torah says that if you happen to chance upon a treifa, you throw it to the dogs. In other words, you can derive benefit from a treifa. You're not allowed to eat it, but you can benefit from it. So what do we see so far? We quoted two psukim. Of course, with the markings, you can see we've dashed, underlined the word kadosh and kodesh. Ma lahalon osur b'achilo umutur b'hano. Just like there, by treifa, it is osur to eat. It's prohibited. One is prohibited to eat it, but one's allowed to derive benefit from it. Afkan, so too, by bosur b'cholov, osur b'achilo umutur b'hano. And as you can see, we've highlighted the expression mutar b'hano once again as being the point that we want to draw your attention to. V'chulin shenishchatu b'azorah. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei / mivne heading. A double underline appears, and the note says chipus achar mokar li'isur chulin b'azorah. We're searching for a source that chulin, common animals, i.e. non-sanctified, non-sacrificial animals that one slaughters in the temple courtyard results in it being Osir Bahano. And that, once again, is called Chulin Bazora. Number one, we have Rabbi Yochanan, and number two, we will see Abaye. And you can see that's what has been marked with the double underline. And now we turn to the Gemara. Mino Hanimili. From where do we know that Chulin Bazora is Osir Behano? As we saw in the Mishnah, that if you were to offer meat like that was slaughtered in the Azorah to a woman, the marriage would not be clinched, wouldn't be effective. Minohani mili. From where do we know this? Omra Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Meir. Omra Torah. Rashi quotes the psukim that are relevant to this piece of Gemara. So when you see here in the Gemara it says the Torah says, recognize that the actual psukim, though the Gemara is not going to quote them, are found in the Rashi. So Omra Torah Shchot Sheli b'sheli v'shelcha b'shelcha. Slaughter Sheli, that which is designated for me, says the Almighty, namely sacrifices, b'sheli, in my domain, namely in the Beis HaMikdash, v'shelcha, and your stuff, your meat, your chulin, b'shelcha, in your domain. Ma Sheli b'shelcha aser, just like my animals, the sacrifices, b'shelcha, mean in your domain, outside, we call that shchutei chutz, just like that is aser, it's aser to benefit from that. Af shelcha b'sheli aser, so too, slaughtering your animals, the chulin b'sheli, in my domain, in the azara, would be aser b'hanah. You'll notice that we have a bracketed section. On the side of the Gemara, you'll notice there's a double starred note. It says as follows: Matras Asugrayim Ledaleg. The purpose of these brackets is to skip initially, Kedei Lechaber, in order to connect Bein HaPircha LaLimud. There's an undoing, there's a challenge to that which we just said, and we would like to get to that immediately. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Shenitan Lumoid, Isur Chulin Ba'azora. Me'isur shchutei chutz. Rabbi Yochanan was the first double underline point. He claimed that it's possible to learn the prohibition of chulin bazora as being osir bano from the isur hano that we know exists by shchutei chutz, by sacrifices that are slaughtered outside the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara doesn't mention how we know that, but there's a Rashi that maybe is worth noting a little more than halfway down. It says, Masheli b'shelcha osir b'hano, demiyatir hano, shenesar bo mechai machre she'en domo nizrak. If you have a sacrifice that went, while it was alive, when you sanctified it, it was osir b'hano. And if you're processing it outside the Beis HaMikdash, you don't have the zrikas hadam, you don't have the sprinkling of the blood, which is the activity that enables one to benefit from sacrifices. So you don't have the mechanism to make it mutter. Hence, it is obvious that the shchutei chutz, that sacrifices that are slaughtered outside the Beis HaMikdash, are osir b'hano. So Rabbi Yochanan said, just like there, we say it's osir b'hano, so too chulin bazar is osir b'hano. So now our note continues by saying, v'al zeh hagmo mafricha. Regarding this, the Gemara challenges it, undoes the comparison. How can you compare chulin bazar to shchutei chutz? Shchutei chutz is a very severe offense. It carries with it the kores penalty, the kores punishment. Not so in the case of chulin bazar. So it could be that something that's as severe as shchutei chutz, which carries with it a kores penalty, that's classified as osir b'hano, as being prohibited even to benefit from it. But I don't know the same. I don't know that the same should be the case with regard to a chulin bazora, which doesn't carry with it a kores penalty. So that is what you will see by skipping the bracketed section, where it says, Iko lemifrach, notice right after the brackets, Iko lemifrach, you can challenge the attempt to derive chulin bazora from shchutei chutz, ma l'sheli b'shelcha, which is called shchutei chutz, shekein onush kores, which is not the case by chulin bazora. Now we go over the bracketed section. The bracketed section is going to sound actually quite similar to this pircha, but it's not. The Gemara within the brackets hasn't reached the point that it wants to challenge the words of Rabbi Yochanan, but raises a, let's say, an investigative question, a curiosity question regarding what Rabbi Yochanan said. So now we go back to the brackets. Ima sheli b'shelcha onush kores. If shchutei chutz results in an oynish of kores, in a punishment of kores, are you going to? Are we to say the same thing? Af shelcha b'sheli onush kores. Should we say the same thing that by chulin bazora, shelcha b'sheli is chulin bazora also carries with it an onush kores? Here, the Gemara is raising it as a curiosity question. The Gemara says no. Omar Krah, v'el Pesach el Moed lo hevio lagriv korban l'Hashem v'nichras. That's from the Torah. And in this pasuk, notice our dashed underlining. We highlighted the word korban and the word v'nichras. Nichras is kores. And from here we see al korban onish kores, on the slaughtering of a sacrifice, something that was sanctified as a sacrifice outside the Beis HaMikdash, that carries with it kores. However, chulin shenishkal bazar ain't onish kores, but regarding chulin common meat slaughtered in the temple courtyard, that doesn't carry with it an onish of kores. Okay, now that we've established this difference, we can now say, how can you learn chulin bazar in the first place from shchutei chutz? Ikol amifrach, you can. Mifrach is to challenge the words, in this case, the words of Rabbi Yochanan. Ma l'sheli b'shelcha shekein onish kores. How can you learn from shvutei chutz that carries with it a kores penalty to the case of chulin bazar, which we just saw in the brackets, does not carry with it a kores penalty? Hello, Marabaye mehacha. From here, we have a source. You'll notice that this is a quite a long Tanaic source, which will take us to the upper lines of Nun Ches Amen Aleph. Within the source, there's some marking, diamonds that appear, and on the side of the Gemara, under the Mivneh heading, it reads, Mekoros, sources, Le'isurim, Hakshur L'chulim Bazorah, regarding different prohibitions that are associated with chulin bazara. And you'll see Roman numerals that introduce each one of these diamonds. So number one deals with isur shchita, the prohibition of slaughtering chulin, common, mundane animals in the temple courtyard. Number two, isur achila, the prohibition of eating the meat. Number three, isur hashlocha leklavim, you cannot throw it to the dogs. That represents for us an isur hanor. And as, by way of the general sugya is concerned, that's the main point. That's what we're really, that's why we've brought this in. Abaye, which is a number two double underline, and he says, mehacha, from here, meaning from this source, we will eventually learn that chulin, bazara, is osir bano. The approach Rabbi Yochanan suggested, we just saw, was not effective, was challenged. So we continue now. Back in the Gemara, Elam Rabbaye Mehacha. The Gemara quotes three psukim, and it's in a very terse fashion. These three sections of the Torah are near one another. You'll notice there's a Rashi a few lines up from here. Let's read the Rashi just by way of introduction for the Gemara. Rashi says, V'shochatu, v'shochad oisoi, v'shochad oisoi, ma talmud lomar. Shalosh parshios smucha zu lezu b'shlamim. There are three sections of the Torah next to one another within the topic of a shlamim, a peace offering. Barishona ksiv, v'shochatu pesach olmoid. U'bishtayim ksiv, v'shochad oisoi. Ma talmud lomar elu, Shalosha mi'utin, the mashma mikulu. What are we to derive from these three seeming exclusionary verses that give us the feeling ze nishchat bazar v'lo achir, that this is slaughtered in the temple courtyard and not something else? So you have three limitation verses, three exclusionary verses. What is being excluded? What are we to derive? And once again, the psukim are found in the Torah where it tells you what you're supposed to do with regard to a shlomim sacrifice. So the Gemara continues. V'shachatu, v'shachat oiso, v'shachat oso. T'losa, kroy, yiseri. Three, we'll say seemingly extra verses. And when we say extra, it's really a way to introduce the oral Torah tradition on what the purpose of these psukim really is. Ma Talmud Lomar. Lefi Shenemar, regarding what we refer to as Basur Taiva. Basur Taiva is non-sacrificial meat, meat that people eat out of their own personal desire to eat meat. Taiva is a word indicating desire. Meat that you desire. Regarding Basur Taiva, that became allowed once the Jewish people entered the land of Israel. While the Jews were in the desert traveling, animal meat from animals that could have been brought as sacrifices, let's say cows, sheep, goats, one could not benefit from them, one could not, we'll say, eat them in a personal fashion. He would have had to first bring it as a sacrifice. Once the Jewish people entered the land of Israel, so cow meat, goat meat, sheep meat became mutter to eat on a personal, non-sacrificial level. So it says, since it says in the Torah, "Lefi shenemar ki yirchak mimcha amokim v'zavachta," once you're in the land of Israel, so you can end up finding yourself far away. Yirchak means far from the mokum, from the Beis Hamikdash, and you slaughter v'zavachta, you slaughter. Berichuk mokum ato zoveach. From this, we see you have the word yirchak and the word vezavachta. When you're far away, so you slaughter. What does that mean? It means slaughter your personal meat far away. Prat chulin shelo yishachatu bazora. This pasuk teaches me that chulin, your common, mundane, personal type meat, do not slaughter it in the Azorah. You know? So that's what's derived from this exclusionary verse. We had one of the verses, B'shochatu, so slaughtering a sacrifice you slaughter in the Azorah, but not chulin. V'ein li'elo tamimim. From this, I would learn only unblemished animals. Animals that could have been brought as a sacrifice is what the pasuk is referring to. But an animal that's blemished, let's say, that's not fit to be brought as a sacrifice, maybe that was not prohibited in the midbar. Now the Gemara, v'ein li elo tamimim horuyim likrav, minayin l'rabois ba'alei mumin. From where do I know to include blemished animals? Let's take a look at Rashi, across from here, more or less. Elo tamimim, ubu'uya lakrova hakosu medaber. Unblemished animals is what the pasuk is talking about. The ilu b'she'ein ru'uya lakrova, those kind of animals that are not fit to be offered as sacrifices, lo itzar bosu taiva didu b'midbar. Now, this is a point that we didn't mention earlier, but there are varieties of animals that one cannot bring as sacrifices. Chayos, for example, kosher variety, undomesticated animals, like a deer meat. That was never prohibited in the desert. So Rashi's pointing that out for us, but as we go back to the Tanaic source, we're dealing with, right now, we're going to focus on the kosher variety. When I say kosher, I should say sacrificial type animals, but if they're blemished, what would be the din vis-a-vis chulin bazora? So the Gemara continues, reading the line again, v'ein li'elo tamimim, shoruyin likrav, from what we've said till now, I would know that the prohibition of chulin bazar would refer to tamimim, unblemished animals that in potential could have been offered as sacrifices. Minayin l'rabos balei mumin, from where do I know to include as prohibited chulin bazara, even blemished animals? These are animals that didn't even have the potential of being sacrifices because of the blemish. But nevertheless, if you slaughter them in the Azara, how do I know that that would be an Isur of Chulin Bazara, and hence prohibited to slaughter them there? Mar Bani as Bali Mumin Shikain Min HaKosher. A Baal Mum is a blemished animal, but Min means variety of kosher, of an animal that could have been brought as a sacrifice. Minayin L'Rabbos es HaChaya. From where do you know to include even the undomesticated type animals, chaya, things like a deer, that it's usur to slaughter them in the Azora? Marbani as a chaya shi b'shchita kibehema. I'll include a chaya because it has something in common with behemoths, domesticated kosher variety animals, in that both need shchita. Minayin l'rabos es ha'ofos, from where do I know to include even birds? With the case of birds, I'm sure everyone knows that, practically speaking, we do slaughter birds. However, Rashi points out that the need to slaughter birds is not something that's explicit in the Torah, as opposed to behem and chaya, which are, we'll say, are more explicit. So how do I know that the slaughtering of chickens in the Azara would not be allowed? Talmud Lomar, v'shachato, v'shachadoso, v'shachadoso. We had a number of exclusionary verses. We opened up our source with them, and with that repeated exclusionary element of in the Torah. So one excludes chayas, and one will exclude birds, and the other will exclude We'll see the Isra Achila, which we have to continue in the source in order to appreciate that. So let's continue. Yochol lo yishchot v'him shochat yeh mutter. Could it be that the Torah says, don't as a first choice slaughter chulin in the courtyard, in the Azora? However, if you did, it would be mutter. You can benefit from it. Talmud lomar, ki yirchak mimcho amokoy v'zovachto v'yochalto. Ma shata zoveach berichuk mokoy mata oichel. That which you slaughter far away, meaning away from the Azora, the chulin that you slaughter outside the Azora, that you can eat. Viata oichel ma shata zoveach b'mokom korov. However, you cannot eat that which you slaughter, i.e., from chulin b'mokom korov, in the nearby place, meaning in the Azora. So from this construction, we learn prat, the exclusion of the chulin shenishchu d'abzora, chulin that's slaughtered in the Zora, is usur to eat. And now you'll find this source to be very repetitive, in the sense that the points that we numbered before, we saw 1, 2, 3, and 4 all numbered, we're going to go over them again. The reason for that is that point under Roman numeral number 1, we were dealing with the prohibition of slaughtering. And I have to then discover, how do I know that the prohibition of slaughtering covers not only the unblemished type animals that are fit to be brought as sacrifices, but it goes to include the Bali Mumin, Chayas, and Oifais? How do I know that the Isur Achila, the prohibition of eating, applies to all of those categories as well? And that's what we go on to now. V'ein li ela tamimim. We continue at the top of Daf Nun Ches. Horu'uyim likrav. Unblemished animals, so they're fit to be offered as sacrifices. And I would have thought that that's what the Torah is addressing when it tells me the Isur Achila of Chulin Shenishchu d'Azara. Minayin l'rabos balei mumin. How do I know to include even blemished type animals? Mar bani balei mumin shekein min hakosher. They're a variety of animal that would have been fit had they not had the blemish. Hence, they also are included in the prohibition of eating when they are chulin, slaughtered in the Azora. O minayin l'rabos is a chaya. Marban is a chayos shehi b'shchita kebehema. Minay l'rabba says a oifos. Talmud lomar v'shachato v'shachato isoy v'shachato so. The Rashi at the top line says Talmud lomar kevan d'israbu hanoch minayhu l'inyan isur shchita israbu nami l'inyan achila ketamimim. Once we saw the repetition of v'shachatoi several times, and in establishing the prohibition of slaughtering them in the Azara, as and when I say them, the all the additional examples, the Bali Mumin, the Chayas, and the Oifais, there follows along with it the prohibition of eating them as well. Could it be that the Torah says, do not slaughter it? We also said, you do not eat it, but if you slaughter it, you can throw it to the dogs. And here, between the lines, you can see we've written, Hainu Hano, and this is really why we brought in the source. How do I, this is Abaye's point, that in this Tanaic source, you will discover that you cannot even get benefit from Chulin Shenishchatu Bazora. So how do I know that? Talmud loimar, it says by a treifa, it says lakelev tashlichun oisoi. Oisoi to mashlich lakelev via to mashlich chulin shenishchatu bazora. Treifa, we discussed, we mentioned this earlier, that the Torah says you can throw to the dogs. However, not chulin shenishchatu bazora. Ashkachinhu Mor Yehuda, the Rav Yosef, the Rav Shmuel Brei, the Rabbi Baba Chana, the Havukaimi Apischa de Bei Rabba. Mor Yehuda, Ashkachinhu means he, Mor Yehuda, found them, Rav Yosef and Rav Shmuel, while they were standing at the entrance to Rabba's place. Amar Luhu, and here we begin a long question. Mar Yehuda presents to them the following: Tanya, Hamekanish bePeter Chamor, beBosu beCholov, uBeChulin Shenishchatu Bazara. One who attempts to marry a woman by offering her an unredeemed firstborn donkey, meat and milk that were cooked together, Chulin Shenishchatu Bazara. Rabbi Shimon Omer Mekudeshes, vaChachomer Omerim Eino Mekudeshes. Rabbi Shimon says that it's an effective way of marrying. Alma chulin shenishchatu bazara the Rebbe Shimon lav d'oraisa. So the result of this would be that chulin slaughtered in the Azara, according to Rebbe Shimon, would not be a Torah level violation. Viraminu, and Mar Yehuda continues raising a contradiction to that. Rebbe Shimon oimer chulin shenishchatu bazara yisrefu v'chein chayos shenishchatu bazara. In the event that Chulin was slaughtered in the Azara, it shall be burnt. The fact that the only way to deal with it is by burning it, not even burying it, shows us that it's a Torah level prohibition. So we have a seeming contradiction between these two comments of Reb Shimon regarding Chulin Shenishchatu Bazara. Ishtiku. They were silent. They remained silent. Asu lekamei de Rabba. Before we saw they were standing outside of Rabba's house. Now they went in. They came to Rabba. Omar luhu. Now here we start an answer. It's a long answer. Rabba says, Palga uk minchi. Rashi says, Palga kantaron. Rogil lachloik al chaverv. Kantaron, I like to translate it based on the actual word itself, cantankerous. Sounds similar to the word kantaron. The kanter is someone who comes, he's argumentative. He's a regular in disagreeing with his colleagues. That's how he apparently is describing Mor Yehuda, who raised the question. So Rabba said, well, it looks like you met up with that kind of person. But I have an answer for you. Hocha b'mayaskinon. That which Reb Shimon said, Mikudeshes, Kegon Shenishchato, a chulin animal was slaughtered in the courtyard, v'nimseis trefa, and it was discovered to be a trefa. The isur, the prohibition of chulin bazora, is only slaughtering in the azora. What constitutes slaughtering? So then, of course, there's the obvious. There's a very smooth, sharp-edged knife, and all the other halachas that apply to slaughtering. But there's another element as well, that the slaughtering is done on an animal that otherwise you would have been able to eat it. If the slaughtering was done on an animal that turns out to be a trefa, that you would not have been able to eat. So Reb Shimon has a famous Shitas Reb Shimon. It's well known, a well known opinion of Reb Shimon that says that Shchita, that's Eino Ruya, a type of Shchita that doesn't lead to the ability to eat it, is not even considered a Shchita. So the slaughtering of a Trefa isn't considered an act of slaughtering. And when we say an act, we mean in halachic terms, in legal terms. It's not considered an act. And hence it doesn't come under the prohibition of chulin bazora. The prohibition of chulin bazora is only if a proper shechita was done. But a shechita that is improper, specifically a shechita that doesn't result in your ability to eat it, because of it, let us say, it being a trefa, it's not considered a shechita, and hence it's not a violation of chulin shenishchatu bazor, according to Reb Shimon. So that's what we continue now in the Gemara. He slaughtered in the Azora chulin, however, v'nim says trefa, for Reb Shimon l'tamei. And here we see Reb Shimon, who allowed, we said above, if you're Mekadesh, a woman with chulin shenishchatu bazor, she's Mekudeshes. He is consistent with his opinion elsewhere. Desanya, Rav Shochid is a trefa. V'chein ha-shochid v'nimseis trefa. Whether you slaughter an animal that you know is a trefa at the outset, or an animal that you discover afterwards to be a trefa, zeh v'zeh chulin ba'azora v'rib shimin matir b'hanoah v'chachomim osrim. These two examples of either shochid trefa or shochid v'nimseis trefa, both cases, if done in the Azora as Chulin, Rabbi Shimon, Mati Bahano. Now that, you can see what we've dashed on the line is what we want you to focus on. These examples of Chulin Bazora, according to Rabbi Shimon, is Mutar Bahano. You can benefit from it. Obviously, you can't eat it. It's a trefa. But you're allowed to benefit from it. The Chachamim Osrim, the Chachamim prohibit. Rabbi Shimon, as we said before, is true to his Shita. By saying Mikudeshes with Chulin Bazora, being that it's Chulin Bazora that was Nimseis Trefa, Reb Shimon says it's Mutar Bahano, and hence that is the explanation for the source where Reb Shimon said Mikudeshes. If you slaughtered Chulin Bazora and it was everything was kosher, meaning the animal was not a Trefa, was rather no imperfections, No trefa problems with it, and the shechita was done properly, that, Reb Shimon agrees, is osir b'hano. As he said, yisrifu, it would need to be burnt. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.